Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo Caro, and I am your co-host for the show. If you would like to hear any of our shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expresate. If you'd like to revisit this show or any of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit the kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expresate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website at bhs.imperialcounty.org. Have questions or feedback? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer free community service training courses, and they're open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about our upcoming classes and class availability. We'd like for you to stay connected with us on Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram. Give us a like, care, or follow to stay up to date with the wellness resources and events that Imperial County Behavioral Health has to offer. With that said, we're going to dive into the show, and I'm going to introduce my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz.
Thank you, Patty. Welcome, everyone. I want to give a special welcome to our guest speaker for today, Marisol Medina. She's a program director with Right Track, and she's going to let us know all about this program and the services that they offer to the youth in our community. We're really excited to have you here, Marisol. Hello, and how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me, Patricia and Alfonso. Happy to be here. It's a pleasure to share this space with you guys, but also to share our message and our mission with our community. So thank you for having me.
All right. We're really, really pleased to have you here, Marisol. So let us know a little bit about yourself. I'd like our community to know more about our speakers on the show. What has brought you to this amazing program that is Right Track? And what's kind of your passion? What drives you each and every day?
So I am born and raised here in the Valley, so I'm a Valley girl, and I am also a first-generation American. My parents both born and raised in Mexico and immigrated here in the late 70s, early 80s, and I think that just like a lot of us share a passion for being a local and Valley raised, I think my heart has always been contributing back to and giving back to my community. And I think what really led me to this line of work is just being a credible messenger myself, experiencing how system failures, whether it's educational or it's in-house barriers, really affect the way we progress in life, right? And so I think my parents really instilled in me the importance of building resiliency regarding the adversities you're going through, always finding a calling or listening to your calling. And I think for me, it's helping youth have their voices heard and having spaces where they feel safe, validated, respected, and also a space where they can grow and thrive and be their, not only their authentic self, but also be the best version of themselves is truly what inspires me to continue this line of work. I consider myself a survivor of sexual abuse myself. And so I feel that, raised in a traditional Catholic Mexican household, we're kind of encouraged to keep the and preserve the integrity of the family by staying silent, right? And so one of those things that always sparks a fire in me is being the voice of the family and the kids that we serve, because I know what it feels like to be on the other side of things. And so that's kind of what leads me to my passion, but I am also a mother and a wife, and I have daughters, and I feel that it's important for me to have a platform, build a platform for my daughters and my sons, and making sure that they live in a community where they feel safe, right? Where my neighbors' kids feel safe, where all of our Imperial Valley children are given equal opportunities regardless of the adversities they were raised in, or what they look like or what color they are or how much money their family has in the bank, right? That we all have access to equal care. And I think that's definitely one of my biggest dreams, is to ensure that our community kids are soon, you know, will one day become important members of our community, whether that means they're the next judge or the next president or the next, you know, school teacher or whatever it is that they decide to do, that they know that they have a safe place and a safe haven and that their voices will always be heard. That's kind of what drives me and what continues to keep me in this line of work.
Wow, that's amazing. So building resilience and finding your calling, I took that from you right now. That's something that all of us, I think, should be empowered to do, right? Find our calling. And I love that your passion and your history brings you to do this with the youth. And you're absolutely correct. The youth, every single one of them, every single one of you out there that's listening to this show, you do have a voice and you deserve to be heard. And that's such a great introduction, Marisol. Thank you. I could tell that you have the passion. And it's just like you exuberate that passion right now just by being here. And I'm sure our audience is going to hear that as well. And we do need leaders like you in our community.
Oh, thank you for sharing. And I know that sometimes passion can sound like angry, right? Or loud. And that's okay too, right? And so
Absolutely. Sometimes
I think that when we are working specifically, when we're working with vulnerable youth who have had their voices stolen, we have to be considerate in knowing that their loudness is saying something, right? Which maybe what those of us that are on the other side maybe need to either lend a hand or lend an ear, right?
Yes.
That's true. So we're here today to discuss The Right Track. Your website, I've been looking through your website. And so just so that everybody out there can know what it is, would you care to share it with us and your contact information? And we'll share this at the end of the radio show in case somebody needs to grab a pencil, paper, or
they'll
use pencil and paper. And most people just screenshot everything. So, you know.
Or ChatGPT it, right? Because everything.
Yeah, no kidding. Google. It's there.
Right. So Right Track, we first opened our doors in 2009, as a proactive and more innovative solution to helping preserve the family unity, and not sending kids to, at that time, group homes, which are now referred to as short-term residential treatment programs. The intent here was to keep kids at home, keep them local, preserve that family unity, but also give kids access to quality care, similar to what they would receive as if they went to a group home, or now known as SCRTPs, right? And so Right Track is part of the Rite of Passage family, who count with over 40 years of proactively advocating for all of the nation's youth. So our Rite of Passage, we have multiple agencies that across the nation that help and focus on specialized treatment for youth who have very acute specific needs. But with our story, we first opened our doors because of our honorable retired judge Juan Ulloa, and some of the advocates at the probation side, like Mike Kelly, that was there as a probation chief, and also Gloria Burnswick, right, which was one of the division managers back in the early, mid 2000s, that we're seeing that this community definitely needed an intervention program. And so it was kind of odd at that time because we really didn't hear these type of services or heard about these type of services, but they had a very innovative mindset where they knew that, hey, if we can help preserve the kids, keeping them at home, we're going to reduce the likelihood of them traumatizing themselves or exposure to trauma that they experience when they not only get institutionalized, but get sent to a group home with strangers, right? And so then that's where Right Track was born. And so we are a full circle partnership with, we work with a lot of partner agencies. Our success is not just ours. It is a shared success that we share with everyone that partners with us, everyone that works with our kids and our families, everyone from schools to probation, the juvenile courts, behavioral health, social services, and even some local community members that are also invested in the same line of work. And what we do is we really provide care for the youth. What the focus is on predominantly on our youth, but we also provide services to the family as a whole. We believe that both the youth and the family simultaneously need to work on whatever it is that's happening at that time together. Because as I'm sure you guys see it on your end too, as technology has played a big role in our lives, we have kind of lost touch of our morals and values and really that family quality time that we would spend during dinner time and things like that. They're not being robbed by television and tablets, right, and phones. And so we've definitely seen a rise in young men and women feeling very isolated, feeling very alone, and the family dynamics continuing to separate. And so we have 6 unique programs that we offer. We try to meet the different variety of services depending on what our youth needs are and our family's youth needs are. But our focus is predominantly on prevention of system involvement, whether that means justice involvement or child welfare system involvement. Our goal is to keep kids in our community in safe spaces and giving them tangible resources and skills to really make true change and regain their power of their own lives. And so we have a large list of services that it would take me days to go over, but everyone who wants to know more about us can go visit our website, which is therighttrack.com, therighttrack.com. Where you'll be able to see our full scope of menu of services. Most of our services are open to the public. There are some services, however, that does require a referral from the probation department, which can simply be obtained by parents or families going to the probation department, asking for the officer of the day, explaining what are some of the complexities that they're facing. We get a referral and we have a pretty quick turnaround. Our rule of thumb is 48 hours that we have to make contact. And so we try to really work on getting kids enrolled as soon as possible because some of them might be having acute crisis situations, right? And so we want to get them the help as fast as possible. And so I know it's kind of short in some, but we do a lot of like social emotional stabilization. We offer evidence-based practices, cognitive behavioral therapy, substance abuse prevention treatment. We do risk assessments, case management services, supportive services. We recently received 2 grants, which is our AS program and our Elevate program, which is our parenting program, where we also provide our young men and women the opportunity to gain workforce experience. And that comes with a hefty $1,000 stipend when they finish.
That's their incentive?
Yes.
Yes, awesome.
On top of the other stuff they get, like we'll pay for like work uniforms or, you know, especially if they're going to like, for example, some of our youth get placed at a restaurant and they need the non-slip shoes or they need certain attire. We pay for all of that. Because our goal is to mitigate and remove any risk that is causing like a stressor for them. So that they can, again, be their authentic, most best version of themselves when they present themselves to work or school, right? Or even court sometimes. Some of the kids need to prepare for court, so we also provide court support too. And we work alongside CASA as well. When our youth have a CASA appointed mentor, we also work with the mentor as well. So that's kind of a little bit about what we do, but I encourage you guys to come visit us at our website. Also, you can feel free to call us. Our phone number is 760-337-5565. Or if you want to come stop and say hello, maybe you're grabbing a raspado across the street at La Fresa, or you're coming by and getting some carne asada at Soul Market. We're right in that shopping plaza, or you're coming for your Pilates session next door, and whatever it is, you want to come stop by and say hello to us. We are here, and you know, we're happy to help any way, shape, or form that we can.
Now, you mentioned youth. So youth from what age to what age that you service?
Yes, that's a really good question, because 3 years ago after COVID, I'm sure everybody started seeing some of the COVID side effects, right? And so we had to reduce our age of service to 11. So we work with youth 11 to 21 for most of our programs. However, for our Secure Track program, we do work with youth who are up to the age of 26. Same thing with our parenting program.
Okay, and that is super cool. I was going through your website, and you have lots of really good programs that you have to offer. Like you said, it could take a couple of radio shows to go over them. But one of the things is I'm hearing that you're servicing, you know, lots of youth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you must have like a big team. So who is your team? Is there anybody that you want to mention and kind of what they do and how they handle the referral? If I'm a parent that is in need of some help and I, you know, go down to your office and say, hey, is there something I can get my youth involved in? What would be the process and who in your team? How would that work?
Yeah. So you would think we have like a bajillion staff, but it's actually, we're a pretty small team. There's only 14 of us. And on the average, each one of our programs has about two to three staff. Sometimes the third staff is kind of like a floater. They work between both programs and so forth. But I'm really proud of my team. They're all, I would consider all of them credible messengers. We've all been, again, products of adversity, and we've all shared a common story of resiliency, right, and empowerment. And so we all believe in what we do and the mission that we do. So I think that's super important when it comes to working with youth and families, as you have to be able to not only empathize but sympathize from where they're coming from and kind of truly know what it feels to be in their shoes. And so I would say that if you are hoping to get some more information and I'm not here, I would definitely ask for Kenya Campos, which is our program manager, helps us with their general oversight of all of our programs, but she's also our core cognitive behavioral therapy facilitator. So you would probably see her a lot of the times facilitating our groups and also our family parenting sessions. We also have Jorge Nunez, who is our lead program coordinator. He also serves as one of our, we call him our OG mentor. For those of you who are hearing and probably known our Right Track, you guys probably remember Jorge Nunez. He's still here. He's definitely our OG mentor. He just has a way with kids like no one else does. He works as predominantly as our mentor, teaching and training our other mentors how do what they do best, which is provide quality of care, right? And then if you come to our office, you'll be greeted by our awesome receptionist, Ana Sosa Nunez. She is just the bones and the light of this office. Nothing gets done without her, so want to give her some kudos. We also have Edwin Partida, who does our prevention family care services out of our Unidos program. If you are a parent seeking, if you are a parent of a teen in one of our programs, you are eligible for free parenting classes, that will be conducted by Edwin. So you'll get to see him. And then we have we have Andrea Gomez, who is our project coordinator, helping us run our AS initiative, which is our initiative in ending girls incarceration. She has done a phenomenal work in this short span of a year, where we have, together with the probation, been able to meet the goal of keeping zero girls out of juvenile hall. And so a lot of our credit is due to her for her innovation of just finding unique ways to teach young girls how to regain their self-power, right? And then lastly, Cristina Segura, who is out of our Elevate program, helps us run our Elevate parenting program, which we launched in March this year. It is a grant program, so we hope to have it the next 3 years. servicing all of our Imperial County young parents ages 14 to 26. And I forgot, last but not least, we have our program lead, Lucia Aguilar, who helps us with our Evening Learning Center program, which is working with our highest risk youth who may have already been just as impacted. And we want to provide them care locally rather than sending them to an STRTP. And so there's a lot more staff that I didn't mention, but I do want to give them all credit because they do phenomenal work. I cannot take the credit myself. I'm just here talking on a radio station, but all the credit goes to my team. They're amazing. You'll see them usually wearing our Right Track shirt. Black is our color. We just makes us look skinny, I guess. I don't know. We just kind of like it.
Doesn't show dirt.
Right? And so we all kind of have our black polos with our Right Track logo. So if you see somebody with that, say hello, greet them. I'm sure they would love to, be greeted and said hello too. But we're a small team. We are growing though. We are hoping to bring in some more teammates on board. So if you're a credible messenger who has at least an associate's degree or bachelor's level and are passionate about getting, your feet wet in this line of field, keep an eye out. We should be having some openings in the next quarter. But that's definitely what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for community members who have lived experience that can really truly help bring the best versions of the families and the youth that we serve. So, yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. We have just a few minutes left on this this segment, and I'm wondering if you could just briefly talk about how a person, if somebody wants to self-refer to your agency, how that would happen in the few minutes that we have left on this segment.
It is the most hardest process ever to self-refer, and it takes you getting on the phone and calling our number or visiting our site. I'm just kidding. It's really super easy. You just got to call and say, hello, my name is, this, and I heard about your services, and how do I enroll? I have a child, or I have myself as a parent want to, just strengthen my skills. And that's really what it takes. We really try to make it really simple for individuals to have access to care.
And you're 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, or when people yes. call, it's 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and they can call your number and get help. And you said it's usually within 48 hours that yes. a person, I don't know what you guys are called, caseworkers or?
Well, we call them service coordinators, but
they're mentors.
And yes, it takes about, they should hear from us within 48 hours after the referral is received. And like I said, they can simply call, and ask for the services, and then they'll kind of get guided, and the referral will be, kind of submitted, drafted right there and there, while we're collecting their information. We'll do need some extra information like their name, their phone number, their address, an email address, or just a way of a form of contact so that we can contact them. I would recommend that they add an extra number in case like their phone doesn't work for some whatever reason. It has happened many times where they'll write a number and then the next day it disconnects, right? And so I would encourage them to add a secondary number or a message number where we can leave a message. But it's really simple. Like I said, we try to make it really easy for everyone who wants to self-enroll to enroll.
And is there a cost for any of your services?
Everything is 100% free.
Just have to be committed to the program.
Yes, you just have to be committed to the program and complete, obviously, the different program services that are specific to each program that they decide to enroll in.
That's really awesome. And when you join us back on the second segment and our listening audience out there, we will delve into just a little bit about, touch on just a little bit of the programs, because like Maison said, is that, it's going to take us a couple of radio shows to get through, and your team and stuff like that is doing an awesome job out there, because we always hear a lot of great things about Right Track, and that's one of the reasons that Imperial County Behavioral Health wanted to have you on the air and talk about your programs and talk about the different ways that we partner up with your agency and that you work with other agencies in the county to help the young folks of Imperial County so that they can get on the right track. And I got that one. And so that they can get on the right track and help them. And, you know, one of the biggest things that you said is that it helps keep our younger folks in the Imperial Valley instead of going to facilities out of county. That must be really difficult, one, for families to visit and then to be separated from your loved ones. I mean, you know, if you've got a child or if you've got your siblings, you know, whoever you have, to be separated from them is very difficult. And, you know, we appreciate you guys on all the work you do and keeping our young folks here in the Imperial Valley. With that said, we are going to take a brief break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. We are talking with Marisol Medina, who is from Right Track, and my co-host Alfonso Ruiz and I will be right back at you.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Let's Talk About It. You're here with us today. I'm Alfonso Ruiz, one of the hosts for today, along with my colleague and co-host, Patricia Arevalo-Caro. And today, as previously mentioned, we're with Marisol Medina from Right Track. She's the program director, from Right Track. And, you know, just speaking with Marisol today, I was mentioning to her offline that, you know, one of the things that really stuck out to me from the earlier segment was how Right Track and keeping the youth with the plan of keeping the youth here in the county really helps in a way prevent further system-induced trauma, you know, and the prevention piece is so important, trying to keep them within our county, within our community, and not placed out of county in what we know as a group home or a short-term residential treatment program, the STRTP. So I think that's amazing, amazing work that you guys are doing, Marisol. And I also mentioned, and for those of you out listening to us, you don't see what I'm seeing, but there is like a moral compass behind Marisol right now, and it's part of their emblem. I call it the moral compass. I'm going to allow her to elaborate, because that was my take on it. But, Marisol, tell us a little bit about the emblem, that Right Track uses.
Yeah, so we use a compass as one of our company logos, and we really just use it with the idea that we serve as guides, right, to our youth, and just letting them know that, hey, sometimes navigating through life can be have its complexities, right, and sometimes you need somebody to help you navigate, whether we're holding the map or we're holding the compass or we're kind of telling you which way is north, south, east, or west. Right. But ultimately giving them full reins and full control of their own compass. Right. And having them kind of navigate through their life using their own compass. Sometimes we have to hold it for them in the beginning. And then eventually, once we teach them how to use a compass effectively, you know, we kind of let them on their own. And so our hope is to is for all youth to leave here knowing how to be self-sufficient. And just again, like I mentioned earlier, just regaining that power, right? Like their power of self. And so.
And it really goes back to demonstrate how you really embody, what Right Track stands for. You know, the compass is going to help everybody find their calling and also going to give them the voice and the choice to kind of choose in which direction you guys are kind of holding it. But ultimately the youth and the young adults, they take the steps in the direction that they choose. Hopefully in the right direction, right, with your guys' guidance and support. Marisol, what are some of the aspects of the programs? You know, I see that you guys offer, like, individualized case management, just so the community gets a little bit more of an understanding as to what that looks like. What should they expect if they're part of one of your programs, which you mentioned you have about six? How does that look for someone in the program?
So after you've finished intake, you'll most likely be assigned to a mentor or case manager to provide you with more like intensive or individualized case management services. And so that usually consists of a intake assessment. We try to assess the last 30 days of our youth and families lives, you know, what are some current acute situations that they're facing or challenges that they're facing. And we use those 30 days as a kind of like a stepping stone, right, to kind of like help mold their individual service plans. And individual service plan is a fancy way of saying my personal goals and objectives. Like all of our youth get access to a mentor who is age appropriate. And like I mentioned also, and what I mean by age appropriate means that they're not the same age as the youth are. There is a significant age gap between our youth and our staff. But also that they're credible messengers, right? Either they themselves have been system impacted or they are a child of or a product of an individual who was system impacted. And so they're most likely going to get greeted by somebody that looks like them or has had a similar experience or experiencing similar things that they are as well. And so it's kind of our way of saying like, hello, welcome. We're happy you're here. And although I don't know exactly how you're feeling today or what you're going through today, I know what it feels to feel not in the best version of you, you know. And so they would get access to, like I said, building the goals and objectives alongside with their mentor. And then depending on what it is that they're working, they want to work on, whether it's, you know, academics, or they want to get off probation, or they want to avoid going into probation, or they want to work on their family communication, or they want to work on their communication themselves, or maybe they want to work on their anxiety, or they want to work on just developing interpersonal skills, right? Whatever their goal is, we try to really tailor our services based on those goals. So even though all of our youth get access to a case manager and a mentor, it's not cookie cutter. It is individualized, it is tailored, and it's youth driven. And so they tell us what they want to work on.
Nice. Nice. I like that. I think, you know, having a positive role model, somebody with the lived experience, right? That's so important because, I mean, we were all teenagers once before, young adults, and, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know what, you just don't understand what I'm going through, right? And you haven't experienced what I have. But if you connect with somebody that really has and has walked kind of the same path, I think there's research out there that proves that people really connect better and have better chances for success. So I really like that your program, the program RightTrack, integrates that. And earlier in the show, you were mentioning one of the programs. I'm not sure if it was Elevate, where you mentioned that. Is that the one where they get like a stipend at the end of completing, and it helps with job placement? Is that what it is as well?
Yes. So Elevate is part of our California Elevate initiative and providing substance abuse prevention and maintenance prevention to parents who are currently either struggling themselves with substance abuse and they want to stop, or they aspire to a stop. And then and are in a parenting role, right? And or are maybe in the possible maintenance stage where they want to continue their sobriety, or maybe they are a child of parents who suffered from substance abuse, and now they're a parent themselves and they want to break those chains and they want to break those generational cycles of substance abuse. And so what we do is we do a lot of self-reflection assessment, where they themselves kind of reflect, what are some of the things or traditions that I'm passing on to my child that might not be the healthiest, right? One of the things that my team and I have often shared is because how many times have you gone to a carne asada and there's no beer, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's no alcohol, right? Because it's kind of a thing, right? No se hace la carne asada sin like beer, right?
Right.
And so then, but in all reality, like, it's with moderation, right? Like, if you're over there binging, then that's not a tradition you want to continue to carry, right? And so then we do a lot of those type of reflections. We staff a lot of scenarios. We try to lead our workshop with a conversation, kind of like this one, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of throw a word in the middle and then we say, what do you think about this, you know, and so forth. But once they finish the SUD maintenance or SUD prevention cohort, which is about 6 to 12 sessions, they'll have access to our customer service and sales curriculum, they will earn a 3-year accreditation in customer service and sales. and a certificate from the National Retail Federation, which they can put on their resume, right, to kind of help let employers know, like, hey, I have a little bit of education in customer service and sales. And then we also look for local business hosts that are willing to provide an opportunity to our young parents or youth to get access to hands-on work experience. So if there's any mom and pop shops out there that are open to helping hosts or want to become a host, they're also welcome to reach out to us. But we try to place our members in locations in the community just to show them again that there's community members that are also invested in their well-being and also invested in their future, right? And once they're done with their, it's an 100 hours of hands-on work experience. Once they're done with those 100 hours, they will qualify for the $1,000 stipend. And that service is available to our Elevate parents, but also to our girls and gender expansive youth under our AS program too.
Amazing, amazing. You know, it was taking me back to the days when I worked with families myself. And when they were in the reunification stage, the parents, many of the parents that I saw become very successful and reunified were those that were able to connect with someone, find a job. And that keeps us motivated, right? It gives us more purpose to kind of wake up every day and knowing we're going to go do something alongside with a mentor is even more amazing. And knowing that at the end of the program, there is this incentive. And, you know, that kind of takes me to the next topic. Regarding like outcomes, it sounds like these programs, and we only have a few minutes left. It sounds like these programs have been very successful, and it sounds like you guys have grown throughout the years. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about like the outcomes that you've seen with the population that you guys are working with?
And so I think, and yesterday actually I got asked this question, like, how do you determine success? Right. And I think success is such a broad answer. Like there's no really right answer to how do you measure success. So for me, we measure success by our youth stories, them telling them ourselves, like, hey, this really helped me, or like my relationship with my mom has gotten so much better. Or when we see like the cost to CPS have dropped or the cost to law enforcement have dropped, where kids and parents can actually now carry a conversation without yelling at each other. Or a parent has gained their sobriety, right, and now they're in the maintenance stage, or a parent has reunified with their children, or our youth has enrolled into college, right, or vocational school, where they've gained employment. And so for us, that's how we kind of see our successes. And I think during COVID, right now that I'm thinking of a story, I had a young man who was in our Evening Learning Center program, and he had a lot of challenges. And he was living in Westmoreland at that time. And as you guys know, Westmoreland doesn't have a lot of pro-social things out there. So this kid kept getting himself into a little bit of trouble. And so he, worked with us for about 2 years, finally terminated probation successfully. And then we didn't hear from him because he was already 18, right? And then during COVID, we got a call from him and he said, hey, miss, I just wanted to check in and see how you guys were doing. And I wanted to donate some food and items for the families at the program because I know that they must be going through a hard time. And so that to me, that call validated everything that we had worked on that child. Right. And so, and he's not the only story that we have. We have so many kids that come back as adults, as proactive members of our community, who are homeowners, who are car owners, who have just really successful members of our community come back and say, hey, how can I contribute to this too? And so I think that we consider ourselves gardeners and just plant the seed, right? And we hope that members in our community help take care of our plants while, you know, they're out and about. But eventually, you know, we will get to see some of those plants flourish and then plant seeds of their own. And so that's kind of how I view us as our success stories has to do with just them coming back and telling us, right? Like, this is how the differences that you've made. And obviously we have all the ancillary stuff that nobody wants to hear about, which is our data and all that good stuff, right? That nobody really cares about, except for funders. They care about the data, but.
I think you're absolutely correct on that. You know, the stories of success, right, from the youth that have gone through the program, and a couple of things that you mentioned, you know, just the community in different ways, right? Those youth that have gone through your program being now part of the community to help others rise to their best purpose in life, and also the community in general, you know, opening the doors and saying, hey, you know what, I got a mom and pop shop. Mm-hmm. And we could use the help, and I'm going to help you get back on your feet or get on your feet and keep moving straight, right? Mm-hmm. And always considering that moral compass. I have that integrated. I know that you never mentioned moral compass, but I see it, and that's what I think of. And I think that's something so powerful with any emblem, right? It could really resonate with somebody. Mm-hmm. And again, what you guys stand for. So success stories, that's something that we're going to jump into in our last segment because we love to hear those. And it also helps give the community a little bit more of an idea of like, okay, so what other people have gone through and how they ended up being successful and how the program helped them get there, any one of your many programs that you have through Right Track. So for those of you listening, whether you're living with mental illness or supporting someone who is, remember, help is always available, and seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. So we're going to get back to our radio segment just shortly with Marisol Medina, our program director from Right Track. And just quickly, I want to mention, I've met some of the staff there. They're all just as lively as Marisol, so you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Yay.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
So welcome back, Imperial Valley. We have the pleasure of speaking with Marisol Medina, who's the program director for Right Track. And this is our last segment, and we still have a lot of stuff that we haven't covered, and we're going to try and put this in, you know, in a very quick and let you know a few more things that are going on in the center that people need to know about. And the first thing we kind of want to talk about is, what is a typical day for one of the youth when they attend your agency or your facility?
Yeah, so a typical day is you're probably, if you walk in through the door, you're going to see a very familiar home-like setting. We try to make our spaces very trauma-informed, where we have like a lot of just things to attract the different types of learning styles, whether you're an auditory learner, a visual learner, a sensory learner. We like to have just these different areas and spaces for kids to just kind of come and kind of just unwind a little bit. So you'll see couches everywhere. You'll see like we have a rec room, which is kind of like our video game room, where there's like three different video game consoles. We have a basketball kind of net in there. And it's just a typical day will pretty much look like youth coming in, being greeted by staff, giving some space to really kind of like settle in, right? We give them snacks when they come in, because a lot of them are coming from school. So a lot of them are coming, you know, it's already 3 o'clock. So they haven't, you know, had lunch since 12. So we'll give them a snack, unlimited snacks, just to kind of get them ready and boosted for the day. And this is for our regular evening learning center program, because it looks a little bit different for our other programs that our staff go to where our youth is. So, if you are in like in our AES program, our mentoring and tracking program, the team usually goes and meets the kids where they are. So that means that they're visiting them at home, or they're visiting them at school, or they're visiting them at a local public setting, like at Starbucks or a library, or things of that nature. But for the youth that are coming on campus, that's usually how it starts, is they'll be greeted by staff. They get some time to unwind before we get into the, you know, the hefty part of the program, which is the treatment side of the program. And so, yeah, that's pretty much, they'll get access to our group therapy, individual therapy. We also have family style meals every day. So the team will eat with the students around 5:30. We provide them meals every day. And then we close out with a kind of more of a holistic therapy approach where we try to do like a lot of grounding techniques, self-reflection, just to kind of give them, again, a sense of just kind of being centered, right? Like, I'm here today, I accomplished today, and even though maybe it didn't start as a phenomenal day and I had some bumps along the way, you know, let me end it with a sense of like, I got through it, right? And so that's kind of what a typical day looks like for us or feels like. But we obviously sometimes we work with youth, so a lot of the times we also have a lot of crisis happening, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes you'll see things where like kids are being, you know, asked to go to another room because we want to give them their space to kind of decompress, right? To avoid other, you know, situations getting worse. But for the most part, like I said, we have all these different areas for youth to kind of go and take a time out, right? And self-regulate and then kind of reintegrate back into program. And so, yeah, that's kind of what a typical day looks like for us here.
Well, I'm sure that you know, with all your success that you've had, this is a tried and true program. And, you know, these young folks might otherwise be getting into some trouble, or, you know, since there is not a lot of things for them to do, maybe get steered off the right track, you know. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're doing and supporting you in your programs and getting these young folks into your program so that they can, you know.
And Patricia, I do want to add that we also do a lot of like academic support. So for our youth that are going to either independent studies or are in attending school, they also bring their homework in, and they get help here with their homework as well. For youth that are receiving behavioral health services too, we either transport them to their appointments or their caseworkers pick them up here as well and then bring them back once they're done with their therapy session. So we have a little bit of that kind of happening too while during our daily services too. So you kind of see a lot of community partners coming in and out as well. Because again, we want to make this place a place kind of like where the kids can come here and then all the services are kind of met here, right? And so sometimes we'll also see an occasional probation officer just checking in on the kids, making sure that they're doing well, or getting just coming and have a conversation with the kids, or how they like to say hang out, right? But that's kind of some of the typical things that also happen.
Well, that's a good segue into finding out about the Juan Ulloa Scholarship. Again, you know, looking on your website, I saw that, and I think that's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Maybe the criteria of how one would qualify?
So the Juan Ulloa Scholarship is named after Juan Ulloa as he retired a couple of years ago. He was a pioneer in this line of work to help ensure that Bright Track even existed. So we wanted to pay homage to him when he decided to retire, even though he hasn't fully retired. If he's listening to this, he's probably smiling because he knows what I'm talking about. We wanted to really exhume his journey to becoming a judge, which was, you know, just you have to show some resilience. You have to show commitment to community, contributing back to your community, whether that looks like you're hoping to gain a, you know, education degree and you want to, you know, become a teacher at a local school, or, you know, you're looking to seek a CET welding degree and you want to, you know, help weld benches at the park, whatever it is, they have to have those three top criteria, which is you have to show us your resiliency, paint us a picture. Number two is how you're planning to contribute and give back to your community. And then the third one is you do have to be a past or current Right Track student. So you have to have participated in any one of our six programs at one point in time, and obviously be pursuing a vocational or post-secondary education at either a college, university, or a vocational school.
That is awesome, because you're giving people, you know, these young folks an opportunity that they may not have, and you know, school is expensive, and every little bit helps. So,
absolutely.
We are coming to the end of this radio show. And, you know, Alfonso and I always like to end our show with some kind of story, success stories that you've had. And we have a few minutes. Would you care to share about any kind of stories of some of the youth that have, I guess, for lack of a better term, graduated from your program and have gone on to other things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can, and again, every program has a different version of success, right? But I can just think on the top of my head, like our Evening Learning Center youth. And as I mentioned before, these are our youth that are having a lot of just current acute challenges, right? We have seen those young men and women kind of for the next 6 months just really show progress in their academics. Some of them have even returned, they're at continuation school when they started here. And by the time they leave, they're back in their school of origin, right? Really getting access to those really normalized high school experiences that they're missing out on, right? And so we've seen a lot of our youth kind of reintegrate back into regular high school settings. And then kind of worked their way down onto our lower level of care would be our mentoring and tracking program. And then through our mentoring and tracking program, we've seen kids be successful in the sense of, you know, they terminate probation successfully, or they graduated high school successfully, they brought up their GPAs, they've learned better skills to communication skills, de-escalation skills, they've identified anger cues, so now that they know how to, you know, instead of having an anger outburst or being reactive, they're more proactive, right? And so then we've seen a lot of our youth kind of really incorporate some of those skills to really help them and strengthen and enhance the relationships that they have with not only their parents, but also their peers, right? Making better choices when it comes to developing peer relationships and so forth. And then for our AS girls, we have seen girls that start our program and all charges get dropped because they were in our program. And so now they're completely cleared their record. And it's like it never happened, right? So they truly got an opportunity to restart all over again. We've seen some of our girls who have had those situations where all charges get dropped, you know, going to vocational schools because, you know, they don't have the weight of the court anymore behind them or following them or chasing them, right? And then some of our parenting experiences, we've seen parents reunite with their children. Some of our parents that have, you know, have been working on reunification, we've provided them assistance with, you know, preparing for their children to come home, whether that means, you know, getting the bedroom ready, purchasing bedroom beds or purchasing cribs, or just getting the house ready for their children to come in has sometimes been the last criteria for them to reunify. And we've helped them with that and they reunified. You know, and so we're truly trying to really bring families back together and keep them together. And then through our Needles program, which is our prevention initiative in partnership with the Imperial County Department of Social Services, we've seen parents really speak on behalf of how they themselves have learned how to be more of supportive parents themselves. I think that sometimes we forget that parents also need support, right? And so, sometimes we don't have the right answers, right? Or sometimes we want to see our child like if they were five and they're no longer five, they're 13, they're 15 now, and they don't need mommy and papi the same way anymore, you know? And sometimes us as parents, and I'm thinking of myself because I have teenagers and I have a toddler. And so sometimes my toddler thinks she's a teenager and my teenager thinks she's a toddler, right? And so then sometimes juggling those things, right? Trying to find those balance will like, can also be very challenging and stressful for us as parents. And so then I have her parents say, you know, I've learned so much through our parenting classes. My daughter and I, or my son and I, have really strengthened our bond where now I get them. I get what they're saying. I get why they're frustrated. I get why they're angry, right? And so then I think that's so monumental when you finally get a parent that says, not only do I see you, but I hear you and I understand you, right? And so those are some of the things that we've kind of experienced here. And then, like I said, we have our occasional young adult who comes back and says, hey, I want to come back to your parenting program because I heard you have one, right? And so then even like that in itself, right, like where they're willing to come back. I think we had a case one time where a student that we had for like 8 years, and he just kept like jumping from one program to another, right? Which is cool. We welcomed him and we loved having him. But eventually we're like, dude, you're 23 and you're a dad now. Like, when are we going to, like, we got to cut the umbilical cord a little bit, you know? And so, like, those stories for me are what stays true to my heart, because for that individual, for example, he knew that we became in some shape or form his parents, right?
His support system. His family, yeah.
And we became his family. And yeah, we were there when his daughter was born, and now he's expecting a baby boy, and we'll be there for that too. And so we definitely have and foster these type of relationships that are long lasting. And so another thing that I'm really happy and pride, I have a lot of pride in, is our staff retention. Like I said, we have 10-year staff that have been here. They have been here a long time. And so sometimes kids will come back and they'll see a familiar face.
And that's really good, because it's like coming home, you know. Yeah. It's like coming home. And you know what's the saying, you can never go home, but these young folks can. So
yeah,
that's really awesome. You know, we're almost at the end of our show, and we want to make sure that people have your contact information, the name of your program, your website, your phone number, your address, and before we wrap up the show. So if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yes, of course. So our email, our website is therightrack.com, therightrack.com. They can also call us to our phone number, 760-337-5565. We have both English information, both in English and in Spanish. And then we are located on 2299 West Adams Avenue, Suite 102 in El Centro. Easiest reference is, if you like the sweet tea from La Fresa, then you're going to find us, because they're right across the street.
Great. I'll have to go by and visit you and go get a tea from La Fresa.
Yes.
So with that said, on behalf of my co-host Alfonso Ruiz and myself, Patricia Arevalo Caro, we'd like to thank you, Marisol Medina from Right Track, for being our guest today. And as always, Imperial County Behavioral Health is here to offer our services to you if you are in need. You can reach us at our 24-hour toll-free number, 817-5292, or our other number is 1-442-265-1525. Thank you so much for being with us, and we hope to see you next week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.